You know, it doesn't take much light to drive the darkness away. If we were to turn out all the lights in here and I held up a match, you all would perceive that the darkness is being drawn away. Well, the greatest source of light in the universe is going to come and visit with us today. Now, if you can turn off these lights that are directly above me, that'll be the first row of lights that are up over there on the corner. I've got something that I'm wanting y'all to see this morning. I hope that it's a benefit and a blessing to you, because some of us have, although the year is gone, we've got great regrets. Maybe not from last year. Maybe from 3 years ago. Maybe from 40 years ago. Maybe from farther back than that. We've been holding those regrets and we don't know what to do with them. Let's watch this and see what we think about it. I hope it all comes through real well.
If only I could go back and change some things, set things straight.
I wish I had a do-over.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I've wished 1,000 times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me I'm not the sum total of all my regrets?
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate?
I get a clean slate.
You all can turn those lights back on up there. And this morning, we will begin to look at the Word and think about a clean slate. Now then, we're going to go all the way to the very end of all things that we know about today as we consider a clean slate. We're not going to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. We do need to study their lives and be aware of the promises God gave to Adam and Eve. But we're going to go all the way to the very far, far, far future. And we're going to look at the very end of things and be aware of what God has already written down and planned, and how much of that has been written down and planned for everyone who has guilt, remorse, regret, brokenness, and all the things that we would do anything to get rid of. And if we're aware of what God has written down, I mean to tell you, there are some things that are written down that I'm going to be talking about today that are not in this book. It only talks about them. It doesn't let us know all those things that are written down, and we want to think, I wonder what's written down about me. Okay? So today, if you'll bow with me in prayer, and then we will begin the message. Father God, we come before your throne today, so we're begging you. We know that your word can work amazingly in spite of our regrets, in spite of our brokenness. We know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He wanted to live with us. He still wants to live with us. And He came down from heaven to bring such hope.
such joy. Father, we want to be able to look into the future so that we can see some things about ourselves today and move towards that throne where blessings and promises and plans wait upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a story that is told about the great Houdini. I don't know if you all know about the Houdini, if you've ever read any stories about him. He was the greatest escape artist that there ever was. I imagine there's been some people who have done things beyond what he did, but nobody was able to do what he was able to do back in his day. And he would travel from town to town and ask them to lock him in their jail. And then he would have people that would come to see him come out of that jail in a few minutes after he had been locked in the jail. And so he went to that jail, went to a town, he was in a jail. He went inside and he took off his belt after everybody had left. They lived him alone. They would have to leave him alone in there. And he reached in and he pulled a thin, very flexible piece of metal out of that belt. And he would use that metal to be able to pick the lock. And so he pulled it out and he began to insert that metal into that lock, and he worked and he worked and he worked, and he said, "Oh my gosh, I've never found a lock yet that I wasn't able to pick. I wasn't able to outsmart. People are out there waiting for me, because I said in a matter of minutes, I will be out there." And he worked and worked, and soon 30 minutes were gone. The sweat is pouring off of him. He's thinking about failure. Nobody that does what he does wants to think about failure. How many of y'all ever think about failure and say, "Yay! I think I'm going to do it"? No, usually whenever we do, we say, "Oh, I wished I hadn't." So he's thinking about it, and he gets feverish in being able to get out of there. And he's been working and working, and pretty soon it's almost an hour. And finally he cries out and he says, "Oh God, help me!" I want you to know that all of heaven rang. For every sinner that cries out, "Oh God, help me," joy comes all over heaven. He was exhausted. He fell against the door and it opened up. It had never been locked. Now then, I know some people that have parrots, a lot of them. And they're in fairly large cages. But you want to scare a parrot to death that's in a very large cage? If it's used to being in that cage, open the door. Now, you're going to think I am telling you a story, but I'm not. The parrot or parrots in that cage will go to the opposite side away from the door and will hang on and shake, because they do not know what that open door means other than they're getting food. And if it's sitting there open and they're not getting any food, they don't understand what that's all about. And too many of us are already locked in some kind of jail. They've been telling us that that's where we deserve, that's where we are, and that's not what God has planned for us, any of us at all. So we're wanting to look into the place where we can see. One place is this word right here. Every time you come here, you should say, "I want to be free of the circumstances that are choking the living daylights out of me." Because every one of us live in a world, although we might have plenty of money or not, we might have good transportation or not, or we might have so many other things, we're living in a world where we feel like the life is draining out of us. And that's the way it should be. Sinners should be aware of the life draining out of them. But saints should be aware of so much more. So today we're going to be considering the books that are not part of the 66. The books that are in heaven that God has written. And what those books say about you and me, and about those that belong to you. In the Old Testament, there are 9 books that are mentioned in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are more. There are 10 books that are are mentioned. I don't have time to give you all those different places to go and look at the books, but I can guarantee you that every one of those books talks about a different book that has been written specifically for you. In Psalms 139, it talks about a book that was written just about you. God has written a book before you about you. He says, before you were in your mother's belly, whenever you first began, we celebrated a baby, and we're celebrating a baby back here. We celebrated that baby being born. When that baby first began, God told Jeremiah, who he was calling, who was having a hard time believing that God was calling me, he told him, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And I prepared before you came out of the womb, I prepared every day. I wrote it down. I wrote down everything. I knew everything about you. And in Psalms 139, it talks about that particular book where it has been written. So we want to look at Psalms 139, verse 16. And in Psalms 139, actually, if we can start with verse 1 and take a couple of verses before we get to verse 16, Psalms 139, verse 1, and we want to read what it talks about there. Psalms 139, starting with verse 1. Thou, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And this goes on. It talks about, you know, my uprising, my down-sitting, when I go in and when I go out, when I come in, you know, all of my thoughts, you all about me, you know, everything before a word comes out of my mouth, you know all about it. Well, let's read what it says in Psalms 139, verse 16. And it talks about when we were first being formed in our mother's womb, in our mother's belly. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, whenever we were first being formed. And in your book, all my members, everything about who I was becoming and what I was going to be, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God knew everything about it, out us, and He wrote a book specifically for every one of us. There's a book that's been written about you. Have you ever wondered what was written in that book? Well, there are days where it's impossible. But God says those things which are impossible with men are possible. Jesus said, those things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So that whenever we face those days, we can say, I don't like this day. I'm not particularly happy about this day. But if this is going to be one of those days, I'm going to trust in a God who knows all about me and who has written about me in His book. And the reason I'm going to do that is because what it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Now then, I don't know if anybody's writing any thoughts and plans down for that little baby right back there. You need to. You need to let that baby know about the thoughts and plans that you had. And then beyond that, you need to make sure that that baby knows that God had such thoughts and plans for you. And He didn't forget any of His thoughts and plans for you. So we want to be aware of that. We want to also be able to see in Exodus 32, and we're going to look at Exodus 32, 33. And if you all will open your Bibles there, I'm going to be going through several of these scriptures. I apologize, not all 19, but several of these scriptures. So Exodus 33, verses 32, verses 32 and 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me. Oh my gosh. The scriptures say, for all have sinned. That's me. Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now we want to think about what kind of book is this that you're going to get blotted out of. Because if you sinned against him, you need one thing for him. Forgiveness of sins. And he's going to, if you've sinned against him and you're not willing to take the forgiveness that Jesus brings, he will blot your name. Already your name is written in there. I want you to know God is a forward-seeing God. Before we ever get to a certain place in life, He already knows what should happen in there, and He wants us to know our name is written in the book of forgiveness. So this book is all about forgiveness. In verse 33, we want to see here that Moses before in verse 32 had said, don't hold their sins against them, yet now if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out. Have you ever loved anybody that much? I want you to know that's how much Jesus loves us. Whenever He says, if you love one another as I have loved you, the whole world will know that you belong to me. And we are required to stretch towards that place where we're forgiving other people. And Moses was stretching forward. Some of the things they had done against God, they had done to him. And he was saying, blot me out of your book where you have written. And we know that that was the book of forgiveness. And so there's a book of forgiveness. In Psalms 56, verse 8, Psalms 56, verse 8, we want to look at this book that there is here. I apologize to those of you that are having to run the projector and run the sound and everything like that, because you all do not get to look at all those scriptures. And it says here, and this is the most amazing scripture for me, whenever I look at it, because I remember that Brother Matthews used to preach a sermon that was entitled Books, Bottles, and Boxes. Y'all remember that sermon? How many of y'all ever remember hearing Books, Bottles, and Boxes? Well, that's very few of us. But it was a powerful sermon. That's another sermon to preach. But the bottles part came from this. You tell my wanderings, but put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So the book has been written already about our tears. Some days you feel like I'm all alone and nobody cares. God knows, and He knew about your tears in advance. And in that book, He wrote that down about the tears that He's saving in His bottle. Do you know something? It's not a glass bottle or a styrofoam cup like this that He saves your tears in. It's actually a leather bottle. Like you see some people who are hiking and they have a leather bottle and they take that out, take the cap off of it and drink out of it, and they put the cap back on and they sling it around underneath here. He hides it. He saves all of our tears in His bottle. Now then, why is that important, that leather bottle? Why is it important for me to bring that out? Because you need to know what had to take place for Him to be able to get that leather bottle. A sacrifice had to be done. See, it doesn't explain it directly here. But this book, the book that has been written in, is the book of salvation. You also were written in the book of salvation before the foundation of the world. God is not willing that any should perish, Peter told us. Not willing that any. Do they deserve to perish? Do we all deserve to perish? Yes, we do. But He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to the knowledge of life and to salvation. And so that bottle was to be a reminder that those tears were being saved in. My salvation has such plans for you, my child. There's things I want to accomplish in your life. I want you to remember who I am and what I want to do for you. So this is talking about the book of salvation and all of its benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, the scriptures tell us. So if I am saved, He has taken my place, and I have benefits. Everybody say, I have benefits. I have benefits. And that was written down before you were ever born again. God expected for you to be saved. To get into hell, you have to say, I don't want anything this God has to give. I'm stepping over the body of Christ. I'm stepping over all of His sacrifice, and I am going to go to hell anyway. God was planning for everyone to be saved. Let's look at Psalms 69, verse 28. Psalms 69, verse 28. Now, it's going to talk about the book of the living here in Psalms 69, verse 28. But actually, I'm going to call it a different type of book. It's not the book of the living. It's talking about why they should live. And it says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Why was your name be written in the book of the living? It's because you are righteous. There is none that's good, no, not one. There's only one that is good, that's Jesus. Only He is righteous. But we all need to be aware of the fact that He became sin for us, that we might be filled up with His righteousness, that we might become His righteousness. Do I deserve any of the good benefits of salvation? No, I do not. But because of His righteousness, that I have been written in the book of righteousness. I'm only going to get a couple of more of them here. Let's look at Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 20. In Luke, the 10th chapter, they are coming back to Him. The disciples have been sent out by two, and they come back and they said, "Lord, Lord, when we commanded healing over people, people were healed, and even demons responded to our voices." We've heard them respond to Your voice, but demons were responding to our voices too. And He said, this is what He told them, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice that you saw people that were healed. I think it's good to rejoice that we've seen people that were healed and that we pray for people to be healed. But He said, don't rejoice over that, or that the spirits are subject to you, that they respond to the sound of Your voice. I want you to know that whenever you hear somebody like John speak the Word of God, or like Tom speak the Word of God, or Max, or you hear Grant, or you hear Jacob, or any of the other people in here who speak the Word of God, that you are actually hearing God speak to you. And because the words that they were saying were God's Word, the spirits responded to them, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Written in heaven. And this is the names of those that have been forgiven. This is the names of those that have been redeemed. There's another place where it talks about the book of the redeemed. Those that have been bought back. You've been bought back. You've been bought back from all the evil that you deserve. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Last week, whenever Brother Burton Gill was very low, I got a call from Margie, and she was a little bit excited and wanted me to come over, and I got into my car and I started headed that way, and I was just a little bit pedal to the metal. None of y'all have been with me in the car whenever I'm like that, except for you, and don't you ever tell about it. Or you, and don't you ever tell about it. But anyway, I was a little bit pedal to the metal, and I looked up in the rearview mirror, and what did I see? Red and blue. And I was saying, oh Lord, I need to get there. But I guess You've got other plans. They pulled me over and they looked over everything and said, do you know why we pulled you over? And I said, yes, I know, I was going too fast. They said, yes, sir, you sure were. Now, I don't know why. I'd love to think it's because that the respect of Liberty Baptist Church and of Jesus is in this town, and somehow they knew, but I didn't know the fella. He came back to you and he said, I'm just going to give you a warning. I could have had my name written in a book that I didn't want it written in. But I didn't get it written there. And I know that I've got my name written in books that I never thought possible. And so we want to thank God for that. In Hebrews 12:23, and then I'm going to get to the message today so that we can get the words that we need to hear out of the last book of the Bible and think about those things that have been written in the books. In Hebrews 12:23, it says, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn. I don't know if y'all are aware of that or not. There are some churches that call themselves the Church of the Firstborn, but anybody who has been born again and has been caught up into who Jesus is and is being woven into His body, and you cannot be woven into His body without claiming Him as Lord and Master and in giving your life to Him, anybody who has been caught up to Him and everything like that, you are being woven, and that means you are woven in with everybody else. There's somebody in this room today that you just said, well, I don't ever sit where they sit because I can't stand to be where they are. Well, that's too bad, because the Holy Spirit has come in here, and if you are born again, has woven you right into them. Because that's the way the body of Christ works, for the Holy Spirit to do the amazing things that need to be done. So that to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Did you know that the church is written about in heaven? If we're part of that, the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, we were written about in heaven. That's been all written about what God wanted to accomplish in this church today. when the Holy Spirit fell upon us and drew us together, that you might be saying, I don't want to be next to that person, and I just really don't want to have anything to do with that person. We were all drawn together so that only what can happen when we come together, two or three coming together, can happen in that situation. I know a lot of people say, I really don't need to go to church because everything I can pray out somewhere else, I can praise out somewhere else, I can glorify in who God is because I don't have to be around certain people. And I'm saying, well, you don't get to enjoy the benefits, because there's a benefit to being where the body of Christ is being woven together. And that's by the Holy Spirit. So this would be people who are woven into one another by the Spirit of Almighty God. Let's see if there's another one that I want to put in here. Oh, let's look at Daniel. I'm going to skip back to Daniel. This is going to be the last one we look at, because this is a good one. Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. I don't know if you have regrets or not, but you need to know that God has already written something down about your regrets. I don't know if you have any brokenness that you wished had never happened. Maybe you've done something you wished you hadn't done that. God's already written down something about that. Starting here, we'll only get down to where it talks about where something has been written. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, which such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that time. And at that time, thy people, everybody read to me what it says, thy people here, thy people shall be delivered. Do you know that you're one of his people? Now, I know it's talking about Israel, but I believe that there's been a book that's written for me and you being delivered also. And thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. What is this book? The book of deliverance. You know anybody that's got an addiction? God's got a book of deliverance. You know of anybody who is dominated by a spirit of anger? They're having to take anger management courses. God has a book of deliverance. You know of anybody else who's got maybe they've been in the Navy too long, like I was, and they can't control their tongue, and they're needing to be delivered from those words that come out of them. You all don't know what could come out of my mouth, and I have to bite my tongue and chew it off all the time. I'm surprised I even have one left. And still out of my mouth will come those things. You can be delivered from that. There's a book of deliverance for every need that you have that you need to be delivered from. And so those are the only ones that I'm going to share with you. Remember, there are 19. There's 9 in the Old Testament and 10 in the New Testament. Now then, we want to get to those books that are being opened. If you'll open your Bibles to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. I want to tell you something. This is a good thing that this angel comes down and he has this key. Whenever anything is coming down from heaven at this time, good is coming down with it. Jesus came down from heaven to seek sinners and to save them. Jesus came down to heaven to claim people and to fill them up with his holy presence. Jesus came down to heaven from heaven to bring to us all the things that only heaven can afford. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I'm so thankful for keys. Keys, if you need them, can open locked jail doors. Some of us are living in a jail and it's open already. And there's a chain, and some things need to be chained up. And if you're chained up by sin, God wants to set you free. You're one of the redeemed. You're one of the delivered. And he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. There's going to be 1,000 years where the devil is not able to deceive the nations. The nations of the world today, and yes, our nation, has been deceived by the evil one. It's no wonder that the world is in the shape that it is and running headlong into the destruction which is going to come. And I'm so very thankful we have an opportunity to tell those people around us, you can be saved out of this. And so he's been cast into the bottomless pit. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and those that sat upon them. Do you realize that we've got thrones set up for you and for me? There's a throne for you and for me to sit on. We've been raised up to sit in heavenly places, and that heavenly places refer to thrones where Jesus has His throne. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I want you to know, I'm not worthy to stand to people who are willing to give everything. Because of all that I've ever given in this life, some of y'all come to me and they say, "We're so proud of you. You've given up so much." No, I've given up very little. I've got a God, I've got friends, I've got those that I'm going to see in heaven who gave up everything. And I'm going to get to stand with them. I'm going to be able to be loved like they're loved. Although I didn't give up everything like they gave up everything. And it talks about what they did and didn't do. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So at the beginning of the 1,000 years, there is the first resurrection of all those that knew that their name was written in the book of righteousness, that they were written, their name was written in the book of forgiveness, that their name was written in the book of delivered. And they knew who they were, and they were willing to hang on to Jesus in spite of every impossibility in this life. So that's the first one. Then comes the 1,000 years, and it says in verse 6, "And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." Blessed and holy, why? Because of who Jesus is. You're trusting in him because of his holiness. You're trusting in Jesus because of the blessings that he wants to give. Those people who died, they were trusting in Jesus for the blessings that he wanted to give. And it talks about them that they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. You do realize that you're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, don't you? Does anybody want to say amen? Amen. You're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years had ended, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison for a little season to deceive the nations again for a short period of time. And he will gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Do you know we have 7.5 billion people in the world today? Do you realize that we're not overtaxing our farmland to be able to feed that 7.5 billion people? Do you realize that with the things that God has given us to understand about farmland, we're actually using less farmland today than we did 30, 40, 50 years ago to bring forth what we have for 7.5 billion, and there were not that many people in the world back then. I can't imagine how many people there will be in the world at the end of 1,000 years. And so it says here that they there's battle at the end of the 1,000 years, and it says here that they went up out of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We're going to skip on down to verse 11 because I've just got a few minutes to be able to finish this up. And I saw a great white throne. Now, then, the very first resurrection, everybody comes to the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not so he can look down and say, "I'm going to tell you what I think of you," because he's already told you what he thinks of you right here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It talks about all the things that he wants to have happen in your life, all the joys he wants you to be a part of, if you want. Unfortunately, not many of us are really interested in joy. We're interested in something else, and God is saying, "Oh, my child, you're going to have to be drugged through the bushes backwards." Now, this is the great white throne. It's for all of those who died and they did not come out of their graves at the beginning of the 1,000 years. And it's the end now. Let's read about that. "And the great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whom the face of the earth and heaven fled away." It means that nobody can stand his presence. Do you know that there are angels that are in the presence of God, and they're always towards him? They have 6 wings. With 2 they fly, with 2 they cover themselves, and with 2 they hide their faces to look upon the throne of God, to look upon his holiness, even for them who are in every way without sin. For them, it's to look upon him is just more. Whenever sinners come out of the graves, they're going to go and stand before him, and they're going to be being drawn to his presence. But while they're being drawn, they won't be coming in all of their corruption to come out of the graves, and so no man can look upon God and live. You have to be changed. One of these days I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to see God face to face. And I'm excited about that day. That's part of God's plan for me. And so these people are coming out, so they have to be changed to come before His throne. On them is coming all the transformation that we're going to see when we see receive when we see Jesus face to face. For us, it's going to be for all of eternity we've been transformed. For them, it'll only be for a short period. They're transformed so they can stand in His presence and they can look upon His holiness. And they will be, it says in here, that they will, so the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. These are going to be the books of where God said, this is what I expected. There were things that were accomplished in your life, and you will receive a reward for it, but I want you to know what I expected. I want you to know what you could have had. I want you to know that I'm a God. I planned everything for you. When you wouldn't believe me, when you wouldn't listen to me, you will listen to me now. I don't want to be to that day and say, oh, why didn't I believe? I want to start living my life to now as though it is an amazing thing to believe in this God. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Well, those books, we've learned about some of them. I know there's at least 19. I figure there's more than that. I think there's one book for every person who has ever lived. Psalms 139 kind of gives us that idea, that there's a book that was written just for us. And the dead were judged for those things which were written therein according to their works. Here's the thing. We're going to come stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Those of us who are born again, people who are not, are going to stand before Him at the great white throne. When we stand before Jesus, we're not going to be able to go like a lot of people in some churches are, and I'm sorry for them because I don't know why they got to feeling like this, but they're going to go up before Him and they're going to say, Lord, aren't you glad you've got me? I have done this and that and something else for you, and Jesus is going to say, it was never about you. It's all about how much I loved you and about Jesus. And you lived as a blind person, not knowing Him or really knowing me. But you did trust Him in a little bit, and that's why you get to stand here at the judgment seat. How much are you trusting in Jesus today? You say, only a little bit. For if it's enough for you to make sure you keep your face towards that throne, it will be abundant in trusting in Him. And so it says here that they were judged according to their works. We're going to be judged according to Jesus' works. How much did we believe in what He could do? And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and they come back in all the glory that they could have had, and the death and hell delivered up all the dead that were in them, and they come back with all the glory they could have had, and they were judged every man according to their works, and the dead and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And you say, well, what happens to those people? They go back to the place where all of the glory of God begins to fall off of them. And they're saying, oh no, no, no. And He's going to say, you stepped over the cross. You chose a different place. They will know for all of eternity what they could have had. And today, you may not know everything, but you know God has written down for you such a salvation, such benefits just for you. And if you don't choose Jesus, you'll step over that and you'll die, and you'll die forever. We will only die for just the second that this, like Burton the other day, whenever he breathed his last, and his soul and his spirit were set free, and he went into the glorious presence of God, and he was clothed upon with all the glory of Jesus. And he's standing at the right hand of God with Jesus right now, and he's wondering about how long will it be before they get here. I want to be with those that love God and that I love. Because if you're thinking you're going to be able to escape from certain people when you go into heaven, there won't be any part of heaven that you'll be able to go to where God will not be there and those people will not be there. And so they'll fall back into that place where they chose to go, away from God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. And you say, well, I hope my name is in the book of life. Have you trusted Jesus? It's written down there. It was written down there before the foundation of the world. Here's the deal. If you don't trust in Jesus, there will be a blotting device. The King James used to know more about that. Blotting was to be able to take ink off of a page where they had made a mistake. There will be a blotting device, heaven's blotting device, and it will be rolled over your name, and it will be taken out of the book of life. You'll hear all the things that were written in the other books, but when it comes to the book of life, your name will not be written there because you stepped over the sacrifice of Jesus. But I'm not talking so much about that today. Maybe there's a sinner that's here and you have stepped over Jesus so far. And maybe there's a believer here today who's just saying, well, I don't know if trusting Jesus is all that great a thing. Well, if you'll trust Him, He's going to give to you your own amazing life. And if other people are trying to tell you, yeah, you shouldn't have that, they really don't know your God too very well. And if they're determined they're going to find a way to be able to kick you to the side and throw you under the bus, they don't know your God very well. And if they're dealing with you that way, they're going to be dealt with by a God who says, if you're mine and I think you might be, I'm going to have to deal with you real harshly, but it's only because I love you. And so today, do you know there's a book that's been written about you? Several, in fact. And in them are such amazing things written down. And are we believing that we could live that kind of life? So if there's a sinner today, please, don't wait too long. Don't wait till the day comes and your name is blotted out of the book of life. Trust in Jesus. And believers, we live in the time of the Laodicean church, where the church really doesn't think it needs anything from God. But it says that we're miserable and we're poor and we're naked and we're blind. I'm tired of living a life whenever I can have so much more, of being miserable and poor and naked and blind. I want to see what life can be like, and I want to live it in spite of the impossibilities. I want to know what it's like to be clothed in God's glory when everything around me says there is no glory that you can be clothed in. I want to know that I can be. And I want to be able to be a part of all those things that are written in the books for Phil Thompson. What say you, church? What say you, brothers and sisters? Are you satisfied? Are you telling God you really don't need anything? Then you're miserable and you don't even know it yet. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a chorus or a verse, and we'll be going out of here today. And I'm hoping we're thinking about what's written in the books. For us, good song. Amazing Grace was written in the book for you. It's a book of amazing grace. Are you willing to allow that to have its work in your life? Let's see.